Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your Bible Talk radio station coming out of California under the guidance of of Hameen Muhammad coming out of California under his guidance. We thank him for this Blog Talk Radio station. I am Brother Abdul Akbar. I am a co-host worker here, along with my brother Suja Muhammad from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and my wife, Daya Akbar. And also, we have an imam that comes on, and Brother Imam Ibrahim Abdullah from Atlanta, Georgia. And we also have a brother whose wife is under the weather, Brother Muhammad, also is working with this show from Columbus, Georgia. We pray that his wife get better and better. So we here tonight. First, we'd like to open up with a prayer called Al-Fatiha. It means to open. Coming out of Al-Quran, our book that was mentioned in the Bible, that one would come after the Bible. Jesus announced it would come, and announced the prophet would come, and that prophet brought the final revelation called Al-Quran, that no other than Prophet Muhammad and Abdullah. But we'd like to open, first we say it in the Arabic name, then we say it in the English translation. Umalay shaitan ma'adim, bismillah rahman rahim. Alhamdulillah, rubilay the name of rahman rahim. Man, this is only thing. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirata al-mustaqim. Sirata al-ladina at-tawlayhim. Ghadri maktubi alayhim wa lad-dallin. I mean. In the English translation, we seek protection from God, from the rejecting enemy, Satan, the one who has been outcast. With the name of God, God is most gracious and God is most merciful. God is the master of the day of judgment in which we all live. He alone do we worship and thy aid we seek. God, please, Allah, please continue to show us the straight way, the way of those whom thou hast bestowed thy favors on, and not unlike those who have been brought down, or like those who go astray. I mean, we greet you again in the best of the greeting of all the greetings in the world. There's no other greeting, massive greeting, than the greeting of the prophet. It's the greeting of the greeting that you will hear in paradise. It's the best of all the greetings. And that greeting is Assalamu alaikum. Simply means may Allah, peace and blessing be upon you. Meaning we obligate both of us. One who given it and one who receives it. We obligate to keep the peace. So we are here tonight to speak on the most serious issue that's still facing us out of all the problems we ever had. This has been the one that's been sticking with us. This has been the one that won't go away, hasn't gone away yet, but people are working on it, and that's holding up an image of God. And when that happens, when an image of God is raised up, after God said not to make no image of him, when that happens, it brings about what you call racism. It should be called by separation and divide and conquer. That's what it brings about. One race have divided and conquered another race because of lies. Weak ideas, wrong thinking. That is the character of the devil, and that's what we're about this in our life. Some devil. Someone said the demon. What is a genius? A genius is a man or woman who receives truth and rejects it. They receive truth, but they reject the truth. they let the spirit of evil affect them, or they turn from the truth and work against it. You can work against what is good and lawful to you. That's why you got people selling swine, alcohol, cigarettes, all kind of drugs that you don't need. Huh? They work against the God consciousness. They work against the development of the human being. They work and they break up families. They work to divide and scar families. Now, not only do they scar families with a bomb, but when they drop a lie on you, that scarred family too. Many families have been scarred because Satan has made evil seem fair. Satan will tell you that you're wrong for having anything to say against a homosexual. But the Bible and the Quran spell it out clearly. That's an unnatural life. The Bible said, populate the earth. How can two women populate the earth? How can two women populate the earth? Can't do it. So it's an unnatural occurrence coming from a lie, coming from influence outside of the person that goes in inside and turning that person inside out, making that person protect and honor evil. I remember a time in America that women had a little shameless and a shyness about themselves. That day has just about gone. Our women look for a beauty parlor or a beauty store. Why? Because somebody done told her that she was ugly with the hair she got, with the way she looked. So she run into the beauty parlor or run into a supply beauty store trying to buy some beauty. Dye in the head. And they don't tell you that that dye will leak down in your brain. And pretty soon, you won't remember where you put your keys at last. They don't tell you that dye will kill your brain cells. But when you go for something unnatural, it has effect on you. Unnatural, everything unnatural for you that God tell you not to have an effect on your life, one way or the other. Love. Is that love what Hollywood show us? Show us people in the bed kissing, talking about how beautiful you are kissing. And is that love? The Bible don't say that. The Quran, the Bible says that's love. Huh? Love is when you get together and y'all know y'all need children and y'all take care of the child. And love come later. Love come with respect for each other. Huh? That ain't no respect for each other. You in bed one night, staying, and the next minute you come with somebody else. That ain't no love. But that's what they use to catch you. Oh, I'm in love. But you take care of nobody. You got children, you don't even know what it is. You don't take care of. You got the women got children and don't have no respect for them, drink and smoke and gambling in front of them. It's all coming from that image. Huh? That God got a son. That's where it's coming from. Exactly where it's coming from. So we got to work on this. So I'm going to look at the queue and see if there's anybody else who wants to say something. Daya, because we want to grow. We want to grow this community. We want to grow the world. We want to say, how can we make the world with all these bad ideas that they're giving to us as human beings?
We have one person.
We love everybody, but we don't love ourselves. I hear people say they love Jesus and they don't even have a love for the house or the community they're living in. So all this it has been dropped on us. So we here to spell some of that ignorance. We here to work against the ignorance and bring about the light that will give us life and will give us freedom, justice, and equality as human beings. Because right now we don't have that because we own nothing as a people. Okay, well, we'll get ready to bring Amin up and see what he has to the one who is sponsoring this show. Brother Amin, you got it, my dear brother. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. But I mean, what happened to you?
Well, it's an indication up here that he wants to say something, but maybe he got sidetracked and had to. Well, we'll just bring him back on later. Maybe he got sidetracked or something, had to go and do something.
Yeah, maybe later. Well, I'm not going to hold this mic for a long time tonight because I know I got other people that in the queue that want to say something. We're here to get rid of that image of that false image. Out of all the people in the world, God picked one people. He picked a Caucasian people. Then this Caucasian people that they call Jesus, where were he born in? The Jesus that truly was born, according to scripture, was born in Africa. Ain't no European born in no, come from Africa, they come from Europe. Huh? Jesus ain't been no Europe. Only know where Europe is located, most likely. It never been there. I mean, if they did, they kept it a secret. They kept it out of our intelligence. Because they used Jesus as they use Jesus to crush anything that we got to say about anything. They use Jesus. The preacher used Jesus. Jesus died for your sins. He's going to come back. And you ask that very preacher who said that, let's go down to the courthouse and tell the jury so we can close some of these jails, he would not move. So he affects no life. How can somebody die for your sins and you weren't even there? It's all a lie, number of hocus pocus conversation, spooked up by evil intention for men that all they want to do is get some money. They don't want to save the congregation. Our world, African American, we should be teaching love each other. We all brothers and sisters. The Caucasian people, our brothers. But now, sister, but they'll never love us as long as they got all the power and we praying to people, praying to an image that look like them. You said, thank you, Jesus, and showed me a Caucasian person. Not the real Jesus. You showed me a phony and a fake and said, this is my Lord and Savior. Okay, you see anybody die here?
No, not yet. Maybe if you can announce it. Push one.
Assalamualaikum. Yeah, alhamdulillah. First of all, I want to apologize to brother. Can you turn it down a little bit? I don't know. You turn it off, but I want to apologize, brother Ibrahim, because I was telling him about the Catholic Holy Rosary, and he was telling me that it was another part to it. Thought it was only one part. But the whole Catholic rosary, it goes, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Right.
Blessed art thou amongst women,
right.
And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. The fruit of the womb, her womb, was Jesus. Then,
right.
Here comes the blockbuster here, the big lie. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And this is the Holy Rosary. But both,
that's right.
But both those parts actually go together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And then it says, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of the death. Amen. So all that, that's what you call the rosary. And if you really think what a huge, huge brainwash that is to have people recite that over and over and over, Mother of God, and then you step a few feet in the Catholic Church, because I wasn't going to a Catholic church. I was going to a Barton Hill School in San Pedro, California out here. And they used to go across the street, the Catholics used to go across the street and get a bunch of kids and bring them across the street over to the church and, you know, and try to teach them the catechism. That was called the catechism. Mm-hmm. And so I was in that group too, a little African-American, maybe all told about maybe 8 or 10 of us go over there, and they teach us the Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed are thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour. So this is what they started off brainwashing me when I was a little boy, and I was trying to work up to be an altar boy and all that stuff. And some of my friends, it's real. This is America. Yeah, it's real. And this is what they do. They get you want to be an altar boy and all like that, and then hold the candles, and the priest go in there, talk that secret language, that Latin and stuff, like you don't, nobody know what the hell heck he's saying, but and all like that, and you make them signs in front of your face and all that. Yeah. But I want to apologize, Brother Eben. He was right. Brother Eben was right, absolutely right, that it was a Hail Mary. He must have been one of the altar boys. Maybe I don't know. But they was reaching out. I was a little. This was way back in the 50s. And they used to come across the street over there and get us and turn us on to the brainwash and everything. And just think of all the people, all over America come up Catholic, and they see all the statues and in the images and in the churches, no wonder our people are kind of bad off and sleeping in the streets and homeless and everything else. And Rashad is always saying that it always be some very dark people pushing these baskets. You know, it may be a point, very dark. He ain't never really seen no light, bright, almost white looking pushing them baskets, be from dark people, who have felt the brunt of the brainwash, right, and the abuse, and felt it bad, and people call it, black, and all like that, and a brother was telling me today, one of them coaches was saying he got lifts like what is that called?
Lifts like two Michelin tires
and all like these white folks. So they, been putting us down and people, and then we repeat it. We repeat that type of stuff.
And the guy was high professional. He was the Players Association president.
Yeah, Players Association. Yeah. Talking about he got lifts like a Michelin tire, all that kind of stuff like that. But I just wanted to say that, and I wanted to, like I said, acknowledge that Brother Ibrahim was right. Brother Ibrahim was right, and I turn it back over to you, Brother Akbar. Turn it back over to you. Brother Akbar? Let's see, Brother Akbar, did you?
What'd you need to
do?
Oh, okay.
Okay, then, I'm here. Okay. Okay, I'm here. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Wa salam.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Hameen. Appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Ibrahim said that they got a case of 700 and some cases that they got against the Catholic Church for the sexual abuse case, and they got to try to solve all them cases. And we have been discussing that. That have been happened in our religion, we would have no place to worship because they would have shut them all down.
Mm-hmm. Right, burn up our masjid.
Yeah, right, burn our masjid.
Yeah.
When they got through doing all the propaganda, our masjid would be burned down.
Right.
They tried to do that before.
They
caught this boy selling drugs in front of the White House. They took this African-American, tricked him to sell drugs in front of the White House. Then they want to blame all the African-American youth for selling drugs. And so that was the propaganda they came up with. They invited that boy to go over there and sell some drugs. So all this evil had been plotted to terminate us, to get rid of us. And we had to be aware of that. And the only thing really can help us is our unity with each other. And that's the main ingredients we're missing. Okay.
Well, you know something? As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
You know, and that's another thing we was talking about, that how if you go to certain of these Catholic big churches, I forgot what you call it, but, you know, like they was finding babies, you know, that would cement it. Well, actually, the skeletons of babies and everything that was cemented into the walls, where you had such a unnatural religion, where you had these nuns, probably young girls in the prime of their life, you know, 17, 16, 17, 18, 20, 30-year-old, 40-year-old women, prime of their life, and you had a doctrine to say, you know, you can't get married. You can't get married. And these women would be in the prime of their life. You know what I mean? And also a lot of the priests, young men, virile men, and you can't get married. And so human nature's going to take over, and them nuns and the priests going to get together, and they was finding skeletons and skulls of babies that was encased in the walls of these churches and everything, you know, and a very, very unnatural religion, very natural, very freaky. And that's what Prophet Muhammad says, you know, you're not among me if you don't marry, you know. In other words, it's half our religion is, you know, half our religion is the other half is, you know, we have to marry. We can't be celibate and stuff like that, you know. We have to marry. So this is something that we have to expose, the Hail Mary and the Holy Mary, all that. And we have to tell the people the truth, you know, of they may not like it. But we need to tell us, if we're going to remake the world, you know, we need to start telling the truth. Like the knowledge that we got, Allah did us a great, great, huge favor, you know, sending that Quran to us and sending us somebody to teach us the book also, too. So we need to go and do our part in spreading the teaching, spreading the knowledge and everything. Alhamdulillah. Yes, so I'll turn it back over to you, Brother Akbar.
Okay. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah.
We all bear witness and testify again. There's no God but Allah. So we have another speaker. Is due up, and that's Sister Quran. Michael.
Oh, there he is.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum. Well, alaikum assalam, Brother Suja.
Alhamdulillah. I'm thankful to Allah.
Yes, sir.
I'll be here right on time. I just walked in the door, and my wife had gotten the program. I've been on the outside and hadn't got a chance to set up the charge on my phone, so I got it on charge right now, and it's completely uncharged.
Well, you got it.
All right, so I'm going to open up first with Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful. I also testify and bear witness that there is only one creator, one God. And I bear witness and testify that Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessing be upon our Prophet Muhammad, is a seal of the Prophet. So I just came in, and they had an LSU game, LSU and Florida game. And we set up at the masjid and kicked it off with the sign. And praise be to Allah. I mean, it's cars was everywhere. Cars were everywhere. So we thankful. You know, they tooting the horn at the sign, waving at the sign, and Caucasian passing by, and they different looks, and some of them happy, and some of them is got that confused look. remove all racial images out of worship that portray God. You know, and they know, the Caucasian people know exactly what has been said. African American people do too, because they toot the horn and they wave at you. You know, and it's time, brothers and sisters. These people ain't joking. We got to come out smoking. And that's for real. We can't hold back. You know, these people is ready to at least be free, at least be free. You know, and I heard you all talking about the priests and things and all these other religious leaders, you know, and they're they don't have no respect for God, and committing all kinds of sins, you know, and they got the thing set up where they want to be Superman. And they can't be Superman, you know, but what they wind up being is pedophiles. Instead of being Superman, they become pedophiles, you know, and it's an ugly thing. But they're gonna be shown, and they're gonna be known, you know, for what they did, the ugly things that they are doing. You know, it's going to come out. It's coming out, you know. And but what makes it so tough for them is that the peoples is being woke up. That's what makes it tough for them. The peoples can see now. They can see better, you know. Allah controls the light. He the one that keeps them in the dark. And when he want to cut the light on, he cut the light on. And he cuts the light on at the right time, you know, where they had to really try to cover up, you know, where it'd be obvious. Like they say in Christianity, they say it's gonna be so clear, it's gonna be so much light out that when they pull it, to cover over the head, the feet don't show. And when they try to cover up the feet, so the head don't show. So they ain't gonna be able to cover up. You know, they ain't gonna be able to hide this. All we got to do is keep going. You know, and keep going among ourselves. Let's keep going among ourselves. You know, and the one that's among us, that working for something else, We'll see all that. All that come out in the light, you know. And the worst sin is a person that testifies and bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Prophet Muhammad is God's servant. You know, he's the last prophet. That's the worst person. You know, the believer, because he become an unbeliever, and that's a sad thing. That's a real sad thing. You know, to see a person believe, and he think that he's being successful. He think he getting on the winning team, and he done arrived, you know, and Allah gonna show him, you know, the fire. He gonna show him the fire. And Allah said the angels gonna show it to him and tell them, this is what you deny. This is what you deny. You know. So the Quran said, don't grieve. Don't grieve. You know, they ain't going to outdo the believer. He said the believer is gonna win through. They're not going to outdo the believer. Matter of fact, Allah said, rouse the believer. That's what he said in the Quran. Allah said, rouse the believer. You know, stir him up. You know, keep on teaching and keep on coming, you know, we gonna know the truth. We gonna know the truth from the liar. We'll know it. You know, you can't play with this here now. You can't jump from side to side. That ain't gonna work. You got to take one position and hold that position. One position and hold that position. That's the way you got to do it. You know. I see people being exposed. Allah is my witness. I see them being exposed. And it's people that you would think that was solid as a rock. You know, this is what removing all racial images take you through. This is what standing up for the truth take you through. You go through these things, and you see these things, but you stay steadfast. La ilaha illallah. Muhammad and Rasul, and Allah knows, you know. And don't try to get up there and be the leader, you know. Don't try to be leading it. That's the worst move that you can make, is try to lead them. Let's keep it balanced. Let's try to understand. That time is the time for yielding. Submitting to Allah. That's how you deal with it. That's submit to Allah. Yield. I'm not looking for no position. I'm not looking for nobody to favor me. You know? I'm not looking for nobody to...
I asked him what is at the end, and he gave me some, you know, kind of like a preacher answer, you know?
He really don't have none. That's about the PhD. So that's what time it is. That's what time it is. It's time to take your position and stay steadfast. That's what time it is. When we say remove all racial images out of worship that portray God, that we mean it. It ain't no game we playing. It ain't no joke. You know, we know we got other things that we got to do, you know. But when we say that there ain't but one God, we mean it. We mean it. No fear. No fear. No wavering. That's the position. There's only one God. And Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessing be upon him, is the last prophet. You know. So that's a testimony. That's a covenant. That's a covenant. That's part of the covenant. You know. And when you break that covenant, you're breaking it with God. Not one of us. You can break some with one of us and pray that God, you know, forgive you and have mercy on you, you know. But you can't break no covenant with God. Can't break no covenant with God. So praise be to Allah. We thank Allah for getting in the middle of this fight. I thank Allah for it. You know, and today I really saw something. I saw the peoples. Some of them was confused. I saw some people were happy. You know, and that feeling, that good feeling that you get. You know, when you are standing with the truth. And standing up on the truth. That's a good feeling. Especially when everything else is in confusion. And you're around a whole lot of people. Some of them believe, some of them don't believe. Oh, it's amazing. So brothers and sisters, we again pray that Allah bless all of us and we stay believers we came to you in peace, and we're gonna leave you in peace. I'm gonna say, As-salamu alaykum.
Brother Suja, you're a soldier, mm-hmm. Brother. That's why I love you so much. You're a soldier. You're firm in this. You've been an excellent model in fighting this image and fighting the problem that we. You never backed up and never backed down. So I thank Allah for you. So thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Let me bring Brother Ibrahim up and see. Brother Ibrahim Abdullah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Another stone to strike Satan up in the head and the forehead. Brother Ibrahim, you got it, my dear brother.
Thank you, my brother. Yes, sir. I don't need but one. They went to nine, but I don't need but one. I opened the back windows and testified, nothing deserving to worship except Allah alone. That's the one right there. Who has no associates, no partners. This creation is here, the government and the rule as he sees fit. And I opened it back once to testify that the final revelation that brought us into the judgment is the Quran that was sent down to Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May the peace and blessings be upon him. I am grateful tonight to have my brothers on. But I want to make the first thing I want to make is to tell Brother Amin, no, we all right. Now, I'm just not one person. We all right. We stick together. And we don't let nobody put wedges between us. Now, you know, these people came on the scene with a plan. They came on the scene with a plan to rule. And how they done it, some Jews brought the Bible over here to the European here in America, which we know was completed in 1555. So when they came here, they brought it. And they started teaching the Caucasian people about the Bible and Jesus being the color that they are. And they left America. And a few years later, they came back. And what did they say? A picture is worth than a more work more than 1,000 words. They came back with that image with Jesus supposed to be on the cross, crucified. And that stuck into their head to tell them that they are the rulers. Now, watch this here. As I said, they made that plan up. They the one concocted the lie, the theories, put it all together, and worked it on the world. But watch this here. Then Allah, see, not them, Allah, I'm talking about the one. Allah put that spirit of his into Prophet Muhammad and his companions at that time. That spirit of Prophet Muhammad that Allah gave him and his companions had moved his way all the way down 1,406 some odd years from that time into us. That's why we say Allah has chosen us. Look what Allah did. They concocted a plan, a plot. Here Allah brought us. See, they were looking for scholars. They were looking for people with PhD, bachelor degrees, MEs, BS, all that to come and challenge them. But Allah brought somebody from under the dust, under their feet, that lived with them all their lives, and step in their face and challenge them and tell them that they are lying. And we say that they're lying because God told us to tell them they're lying. This is not our mission. This is Allah's mission through his prophet, through all the great Sahaba, through Imam Muhammad. And who brought this message out? Imam Muhammad. You haven't heard this message nowhere in America, not even during the time of his father, Elijah Muhammad. But here come Imam Muhammad told us to do what? To remove all images that portray divine, that betray God. He told us to move it. That's the fight. So now, what you say, my brother say, Allah's in the Quran, rouse the believers, and the other part is to the fight. We are rousing them to the fight, and we ain't picked a damn gun. We ain't picked a damn bomb. We ain't strapped ourselves with nothing but the truth. That's that one stone I'm telling you about. Now, it was 370,000 cases that they have. And they also found babies under the monastery, skeletons, babies. And you tell me this is what you want to follow? See, the image that you got to get out your head is right there in front of you. Been walking next to you, the one that give you a job, tell you, okay, you're hired, put yourself over your boss. That's the image. That's the image that we are trying to strike a stone at first. Them physical images that they got on these buildings, oh, they'll come down later. We have to listen. The one that walk with 2 feet, the one that every time you open his mouth with a fork and tongue, he tell a lie. That's him. And now we're in his face, and he's saying, where did they come from? We are the answer of the scripture that our foreparents prayed. We are the answer to their prayer to see freedom, justice, and equality. But what good is freedom, justice, and equality, and you won't stand up for God? It don't mean anything. So the lie that they told, that they trapped themselves in, and here we come throwing one stone and saying you are a lie. La ilaha illallah. There's nothing worthy of worship but Allah, and you are not God. And the worst thing they said, the worst thing could ever happen to us is to teach us how to read. Well, you didn't have to teach us how to read, because Allah taught us like he taught Prophet Muhammad. How did he teach Prophet Muhammad? He told him, observe the signs in the universe. That's how Allah taught Prophet Muhammad. And it came all the way down to us. Ali didn't teach Imam Muhammad. Didn't go to no college, no university. No, Allah taught him. And Allah is still teaching us. And we're bringing forth the truth, nothing but the truth, so help us God. Now, we don't have time to lie and play games. Your Christmas coming up, all these things they threw at us to get all the money from the people in the world with their false holidays. What does Christmas mean? As you spell the word, it says Christ. In that word, it says mass. It means Christ come to crush the masses of the wicked. And here we are. Yeah, we the Christ. Yeah, Oh, you didn't want to hear that, did you? But is it true? Yeah, because Christ being what? Christianity, being Christianized into one. See, they go to one again, but they didn't want you to know that. Like I say, they try to keep all these little secrets, but we are the ones that had gotten to their secrets and to their mind, and we are exposing them like Allah has asked us to expose them. We're not doing this on our own, so don't you tell me it's worth us sitting back and giving praise to the one that he chose us for this mission. Look at all the people in the world he could have chose. And we're not talking about color. I say people. He took a downtrodden people, people with no education, can't hardly read and write, couldn't hardly see. And he chose us, opened our eyes, gave us this message, and told us to go forth. And here we come. We're not slacking up, we're not backing up, and we're not stepping aside. Because we don't have to do that no more. You never seen us scratching our behind, scratching our head when we're talking. Why? Because we know we got God on our side. And as long as you got God on your side and God befriend you, you ain't got nothing in the world to worry about. Only thing you got to worry about is slacking up on your duty. And you don't want to do that. So we are just here, brothers and sisters, just to tell y'all that we love you. This is why we're taking our time out to explain these things to you. It couldn't happen. It couldn't happen until Allah designated the time for us to rise up, the time for us to come together, and we didn't know what we were doing, and then when he gave us the message and it was explained to us, then we found out what we have to do, and we're doing it. And the worst thing happened with them, they tried to start race wars and all that, and like I say, we ain't picked up their weapon. The greatest weapon in the universe is truth. The truth. Not just any truth. There's a lot of truths out there, but we say El-Haq. The truth, and that's Allah, the one true and living deity of God, Allah. That's the truth that we stand on, what he gave us. So I'm not going to take up too much more time. I'm grateful to Allah to have the opportunity to speak with you. I know that my brother, every time they come online, we know that Allah still got us on the planet, and we're still recognizing the fight that we're in. And every time they throw a hook, we go up under with her because they don't even see it coming. And to see the physical images they have in their church and all that, they're going to put them down themselves. Because Allah going to put something in our spirit to put into them that they can't help but to give it up. Throw their hands on them, surrender. That's all they got to do. Surrender to your Lord. Don't surrender to us. That's all. It's nothing else to do. So we're going to keep on fighting. And see, the thing about it, like I said before, when you got a job and you don't love it, you ain't going to do it. You're not going to be sufficient in it. But here we got a job that our Lord assigned us to, and we love it. We love it because our Lord chose us. He assigned us on the job that he gave us. He put us in keynote positions on the job, and we love the job. That's why you hear us every night pleading to you to stand up and change your life and come to the true and living God, Allah. Not no spook. If you listen to that old hymn they used to have, that they used to say in the church, you know, the little prayer they used to sing, but it says hollow, right? But you turn it around, it's A-L-L-H, Allah be thy name. But see, they don't want to tell you that too. We were taught to use etymology, meaning the root of words. And Allah has blessed us through a man, Imam Muhammad, who taught us these things. And we're not going to let our Lord down. We're not going to let our brother down, even Wadi Muhammad, who gave his life for this. And pretty soon you'll be saying, praise be to Allah for them, brother, because they went all the way till their life ended, fighting their fight. So I thank you. May Allah bless all of us. And remember what Prophet Muhammad said. He said that many believers go to bed at night and wake up disbelievers. And many disbelievers go to bed at night and wake up believers. We always pray to Allah to bless us to wake up in the morning conscious of him and the message that he's sending us, thanking him always for allowing us still to be a believer. I came to you in peace. I'm going to leave you in peace. And I pray a lot that you have peace and resonate that peace throughout your whole family in the world. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam, Brother Ma'am Ibrahim. And we appreciate you and your words and your speaking. My husband had to go to the door for a minute. Some unexpected guest came, so he had to go to the door. So now I have to get the phone. And between you and Brother Suja and Brother Imeen, you only have, I think it's about 5 minutes or 6 minutes that you have before it's time to turn into the second half. So I don't know which one of you might want to speak again, or you want Brother Ibrahim to continue to speak, because there's nobody else.
Well, I would yield over to my big brother Suja if he's on the line, and I can close out with prayer, inshallah.
Well, I'm gonna yield to brother Amin.
Until
live,
if he don't say nothing again.
I've been.
was, let me see. Okay. Do you have any last words, Brother Amin? As-salamu alaykum. We're coming up on the second half now, 5 minutes before. So do you have any last things to say for this first section, Brother Amin?
Sister Kulan, my wife want to say something.
Okay, well, maybe we give her maybe 4 minutes or 3 minutes, and then we turn it to the second half.
One minute.
Yeah, that's all. I just want to say one thing. Alhamdulillah, Bismillah, Rahman Rahim. You know, I heard what one of the brothers say about the Pope that they don't, you know, about them not getting married. I just had to want to say is that there was a time that they did get married. There was a time that, and I was reading the history and watching the history, and they were saying that was the time that the Pope, they did get married. Just I don't know what was during time, Constantine's time or what, but I just know there was a time that they did get married, alhamdulillah.
Okay.
I remember that. Thank you, Sister Quran. Yeah, I remember that time, too. I think it was one of the latest things that they started getting married, the nuns did, too, right? Yeah, I remember that. Okay, alhamdulillah. Somebody can close out for this half. Is that what y'all brothers want to do?
Yes, ma'am.
2 minutes. Okay, you got 2 minutes before it's time for the second half. Okay.
So you want to close out, Susan Diane?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you want me to close out, inshallah. Okay. I seek refuge from Allah, from Satan, the rejected, for the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Surely I tell myself to you, Allah, trying to be all right to you who originate the heavens and the earth, and I'm not of the polytheists. Surely my prayers, my sacrifice, my life, and my death are all for you, Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. No associates have you, and this am I commanded, and I am of those who submit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hold on now, and let him bring it on into the second half. And my husband's talking now to you. Guess they came in.
As-salamu alaykum.
There he is. Alaykum as-salam, but I mean, it's been closed out the first.
Mm-hmm. Okay, praise be to Allah. Now, in order for me to see the screen completely, let's see. We could take everybody else off so we could have this conversation in a second. Let's see. Because I see you're in the host. You're the host. Do you see me? Do you see my number? Daya.
I had put it on mute. Yes. I had put it on mute.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yes, I just see you. I see
right.
You.
Okay, and then that's Sister Karan's number, right?
Yes, Sister Karan, Brother Sujar's on it, using it. Well, the two of them are using
right.
it,
and
yes.
And then 404-438, who is
Imam
that?
Imam Ibrahim.
Okay, all right. So do you see any more on your screen?
No.
Okay, yeah, all right. That's all I see, too. Okay, so I guess what they'll do is start calling in then. And we'll just leave it like that. But I'm thinking, let's just try it where they'll call in. So people will just start calling in now. And then we'll get the second part of the show going.
Okay. So do you want me to stay on as the host? Do you want me to go out and call back in as a guest?
No. Like you could, if you went out as the host, I wonder if I should, no. Just leave it like it is right now.
Okay.
And if let's see if the people will start calling in.
Okay, then.
Inshallah. Yeah, because according to a friend of mine, he said he's inviting a lot of people, so he don't want a lot of static or whatever.
Because you can just see the screen same as I can, right? We have the same people on the same screen, right?
Right, the same people. So let me call Dr. Frank.
Okay.
And make sure. Let me call him.
Okay. Oh, that's a new one? Who's Dr. Frank? Oh,
he's he's the brother who's been on.
Oh, what's his whole name?
His name is Frank Gupta.
Oh, Frank Gupta. That's right. Okay. I just been knowing about Dr. Gupta. Okay. Okay, then. I have a question to ask him, too. I'd like to know when the session starts in November.
Yeah, Assalamu alaikum. If you could hear me, press 1 on your phone, and I'll bring you into the queue. If you could hear me. Assalamu alaikum. Brother Shuja, Assalamu alaikum. 323-867. Brother Shuja, if you could press 1 on your phone so you could go back out of the queue. Oh, okay. All right. All right, so I'm like, let's make sure here. Let's make sure I've got my brother here. Oh, okay, assalamu alaikum. Yes. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Brother Ugda, yes. Okay. Alhamdulillah, we got a full schedule here. We got a full team here coming on to listen to Dr. Frank Ugda on coding. All praise be to Allah. I must confess that I was huge on coding. I used to go around preaching coding so much. I know people thought I was deranged or something. I said, but I saw it. I peeped it. And then in about 2016, somebody told me that Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki, that the imam praised Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki. So I went and I listened to that, and I saw where the imam had talked about that. And then that was the only thing that really got me off my coding preaching, because I wanted to look further into why did Imam Muhammad say that about that? Why did people thought I was crazy? They called me. I lost friendships. Oh, golly. People thought I was crazy. And I still may be a little crazy. That's all right. We all, a little crazy anyway. But I was big on coding. The Hour of Code, when Obama was teaching and preaching, telling people to learn to create apps. And we had these two Iranian brothers who came over here in 79. They came over here, and their father got them involved in coding. And it was two Iranian twins who were huge on the Hour of Code. And, and they had the brother, the basketball player. He was going around. He was pitching about cold. And they had the sister actress who played Malcolm X's wife in that movie Malcolm X, and they had her talking about coding, and they had all these big people, Dorsey, the people who were starting these very successful tech companies, and they were saying how important coding was. And so I was convinced. But I said, I'm going to be telling my people all about it. And in fact, it worked because this little brother who was seeing one of my daughters, he didn't know what he wanted to do. He was pretty good at mathematics and stuff like that. And I talked to him. The next thing I know, he was graduating from Cal State Dominguez Hills with a computer science degree. And now he works with a big security company, Bose, big security. And also one little brother who I was preaching and teaching about coding over to another school my other daughter was going to, he changed his major, and he became a phenom. He was in high school. Oh, he's a phenom over there. And all the little boys and girls be following behind him because he's a phenom in coding, you know, over there. And they joke. They call me Coach. They don't call me Mr. Muhammad. And these are my daughter's kids. So with no further ado, we're going to hear from Dr. Frank Ugda of New Orleans. And right now he's in Maryland right now because of Hurricane Ida. He's trying to regroup and regenerate, and so he's on the East Coast. But you know how technology is. We could hear him, and if we had a TV screen, we could see him. But all right now, we could just hear him. So the next voice you'll hear is Dr. Frank Ugda. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Frank.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. Tonight I'm going to wrap up our five topic panel discussion on the technology that we need to be aware of and participants in the ongoing struggle and fight against algorithm bias. Praise be to Allah. So tonight I was going to go into talking about the hidden STEM economy and the good news of the opportunities and the certifications that we offer, along with coding courses and making sure that our kids are equipped to be competitive in the technological age. We didn't have a talk Friday night, but Thursday night, what we were discussing about 5G and the type of speed and the type of business and money that will be generated in the 5G mm-hmm. environment. And I wanna summarize that because at the end of the day, in our human experience, we have to live in this country, and things cost money in America. And mm-hmm. No one is giving anything away. And prices go up in this country. They don't go down most of the time. They go up. And so if we understand the dynamics that the money is a means to an end. It is a resource. And this is why people go to work. And so what's going to happen in America is that there will be more opportunities for people to make more money. And in mm-hmm. turn, because of that, things are going to be expensive. One of the things that people are not aware of is, which is why our company, New Life Consulting, we provide a way for people to save money through with the streaming costs of streaming, and everyone will be streaming their media and needing fast internet. We have done the research. The average cable bill in America is $147.17, something like that, on average. And we have figured out a way to provide all the channels your cable providers provide for you You get all the channels, whether they're American, international, and abroad. Every channel that is VIA or satellite, we offer that to our customers for over 1,500 channels for $50 a month. And why am I talking about this? Not just to promote any business, but to make people aware that streaming itself is a $400 billion industry, and there are not enough people of color in it. And we announce these things so because we want others to get in it. We cannot just complain that, you know, they have not leveled the playing field and they're not being fair to us. And when the opportunity presents itself, no one is getting involved. You can get involved in shit streaming. Contact us. There are ways. There are people making money with New Life because we have broken the barrier by us having a tech firm and satellite access. Others can enjoy and benefit from this industry that is not shrinking. It's growing. $400 billion, and it'll grow. It'll grow even more the next year and the year after. And so instead of just being a customer of streaming, you should be thinking of ways to get into this pot, $400 billion. And this is why we announced this on the broadcast. Not to mention, yes, you can save, at least get rid of that bill. We have good programs. We have where if you bring us five customers, you won't even have a bill. We've already reduced it to $50, $55 based on the number of devices you use. Typically, three devices, you would charge you $50. We are very reasonable, and you get the same service, the same channels everyone enjoys, and then some. I think they have a few brothers in our network that have utilized it or seen it. But definitely we want people to know because we need more people of color, and not only in technology, but definitely in streaming. And some moves and steps have been taken to get our brothers and sisters that is on this circuit, the 360 and any circuit where we having lectures on the phone. Me, myself, I have dedicated some of my resources and skill sets to get us on the TV channel, like the brother just mentioned. There's a reason he said that. He don't even know. Allah made him say that. But, yes, we want to have people where they can see and be on the channel, and then we could attract a whole nother layer, a level of a customer or participant, because most people may view this type of setup as archaic, ancient, and that's okay. We still, you know, have it. We have to, if you want more, you have to appreciate what Allah has given you. But definitely, I am interested in trying to upgrade this situation for all of us, and then we can invite that other generation that is experts at the social media. I'm not a social media expert, by the way. People may assume because I'm a professional technologist that I'm some expert at social media. Listen, I'll tell you, I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm so infrequent on Facebook that when I go on there, I have to change the password every time. Okay, so, you know, you have all kind of layers of technology, but social media, that's never been my strong suit, but I know people are doing business and making a lot of money on social media. So that's just to go show you how broad technology is, all right? They got different areas and layers that you can tap into, just like being a doctor. You might be a doctor of feet, a foot doctor, a podiatrist, you know, and know nothing about the eyes. That would be an optometrist. And see, so that's that. Technology is the same way. They got different areas you can master and excel in. And so I'm just letting people know, don't assume that Dr. Ukhtar is some expert at social media. What I am good at is staying in my lane, and then I'll hire some people that are experts. So we are always looking for talent. And so that's why we offer these courses. A lot of brothers and sisters that are taking the courses, they may be recruited to work right in the home or from home and with us, because we are expanding and we are always looking for talent. But let's talk about the good news of when you get certified with us. Anybody gets a certification with us, they will definitely experience the professional development. We will make sure that you can survive and keep a maintenance on your job. It's one thing to get in the job market or the industry, but keeping your job is important. We are protecting our brand, but keep in mind, this is an industry that where you have to keep learning. And so I stress that enough because we are accustomed to thinking we've arrived. That's a bad game America has played on the education, development, and department, where people, after they reach a certain level, they just stop. I'll be the first to tell you, the human brain and central nervous system is always picking up information. Scientific fact, the brain picks up 4 billion bits of information every second you're not even aware of. That's how powerful the equipment Allah has given you. Your brain and central nervous system is always gathering data all the time, even when you sleep. You ever fell asleep and left the TV on and there's some action-packed movie that was on while you were sleeping? Well, Your brain and central nervous system was still percolating from the movie. And that's why you probably wake up tired when you leave the TV on, because your brain and central nervous system never took a break. It never took a rest. And so Allah has endowed us with equipment that is, in my definition, definitely state of the arts. We don't even know how to use our brain. And so, matter of fact, there's a book. I have it. I just recently bought a new edition of it. It's called The Brain, The User's Manual. Okay? And the scientific world is making major breakthroughs and learning that they can help people with mental health issues now. There's a few designs and patents that have been developed for equipment that can help a person with mental health issues by massaging and energizing the new neurotransmission of their brain cells. This is new science. It's called epigenetics. It's different ways we can heal each other now. And the science, the medicine of the future is going to be light and sound, by the way. I want people to understand what's coming, all right? As we get smarter and grow faster, in this technological age, the way we do things and go about things are going to be different. We're going to have people going to the doctor and just doing a light therapy and sound therapy and actually feeling better and healing themselves, which I'm all for, because the pharmaceutical industry, they want everybody to continue taking drugs for 30 and 40 years. We have not done a good job of curing anything. We are the best at treating. We'll treat something for 30 years. I remember in Japan, when I would march for Grambling State and go to Japan after the Bayou Classics, that we learned that they have hospitals in Japan, but what they do, all the patients drink alkaline water because they cannot afford to be treating ailments for 20, 30 years in Japan. They have over 1 billion people. So their main priority is to get you out of the hospital. Hence, they would make sure their patients drank plenty of alkaline water. And just so you know, the reason why, if you look at the data on the longevity chart, of world continents and people, the Japanese are number one at living the longest. They are number one in the world at living long. And guess what? They are the largest consumers of alkaline water. I show you how Allah gave them mercy and blessed them. An atomic bomb was dropped on this country, which was supposed to shut them down for a century at least. And so Allah provided them with the knowledge and the wherewithal and the technology. Yes, that's water technology, to where they are number one at living the longest. But no other country got an atomic bomb dropped on it but them. But Allah, in his infinite mercy, gave them the remedy and the answer. And so these people consume the largest amount of alkaline water nationally compared to other nations, and they also are number one on the chart. So praise be to Allah. But I'm saying all that to say that the machines they make, the water technology they have, theirs are at least 30 years in front of America with water technology. They have computers sitting in water in Japan. That's how smart these people are at designing and understanding the gift of what water does. And a human being is made up of water, by the way. And so, yes, there will be all kind of layers of technology that will be presented in the era of 5G, and people are going to be expected to be smarter because information is readily available. The internet has many nomicas. One of them, it is the super information highway, all right? No one has no excuse for not knowing something now, because you should be able to go and find that data immediately, and you will be able to obtain that data even faster in a 5G environment. So there won't be no excuse for not knowing, all right? And so by the world picking up speed, planet has picked up speed and gotten hotter also. And so these things are happening because Allah created a universe that is constantly expanding. We're not supposed to sit still at one level and become content. That is a dangerous mindset, and we need to detach from that. And we need to detach from concepts of I know enough, I don't need to learn anything, or we could leave that for the younger generation. You want to detach from that, especially in this era, because everyone is gonna feel what happens when they finish with this 5G infrastructure, and everyone is expected to be smarter. Those who have not laced themselves up and tried to learn more or add to their resume are probably going to feel the residue of the massive job loss that is up on us. And 25 months is not that far away. This is the prediction. The prediction is 5.4 million jobs will be lost by African Americans in the next 25 months. Let that sink in. All right? Massive job. Who you think they're going to fire you first? They're going to fire you, the African American, first. So we have to brace ourselves and prepare ourselves and our children. There will be massive job loss because the machines will take jobs, and then there will be issues that, well, where can I place you? Because everything you can do, sir or ma'am, the robot can do, the computer can do. What do you want me to put you on the job force? And so those individuals are going to have to what? Add to their resumes. I tell my students, we need to be the person that has to turn the robot off when it loses its mind. You need to add to your resume. The fast food industry is in trouble. Manufacturing, transportation, you name it. It'll be some machine or some software that can do the work that your manager or you used to do. And so we don't want to get complacent or lazy, or just pray all day and think something is going to fall out of the sky. We have to do the adab, and we should be front runners anyway, because it is the Muslim mind that has educated the world on how to do everything in the first place if you go and do your research. This is our natural position. And so I think next week we will be talking about where is the Muslim mind and the Muslim community in the midst of all this advanced technology, and what is our position? Because typically speaking, it has always been the Muslim mind at the index and the forefront of advancement. We have never been at the end of advancement. The Muslims have always been in the front of it, okay? And so we cannot become complacent and content with what level we are. We have to open our eyes and look at what's upon us, and that, yes, the world is competitive. Yes, it is. Allah tells us to compete in his forgiveness and righteous deeds, but he also tells us to endure in your endeavors and seek a level of perfection. And so those of us who are going to tap into the technological age and get certifications and learn how to code, you don't want to be average. That's not us. That's not the Muslim. The Muslim is always trying to perfect what he or she is doing or does. Sure. And we want to keep a maintenance on that. You have something to say, Muhammad?
No, sir. I'm just agreeing with you. Agreeing with you.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, we will have certifications. The A-plus class, that class is going to also start in November. It'll be at the end of the second week. The coding will be the first week. We'll introduce the coding. And I talked to a sister today about coding. She contacted me, and I had to remind her that coding consists of typing. And so those of you who can type that are interested in getting learning coding with us, in the meantime, while you wait for orientation and for us class to start, you can start familiarizing yourself with typing, because the one who can code, you know, your job in coding or your placement in coding or the respect that you will receive for being a coder, it's going to be linked to your typing speed as well. You know, when they have hackathons, you may know the right code, but the person who types it the fastest, that's who's going to win, by the way. Fit in there. All right? So improving your typing skills is definitely something you want to put on the list if you intend to be a good coder, especially a marketable coder. Because when you can type fast and you understand the code, now you're cooking with butter, okay? So I want to put that message out to our potential students or people who show interest and contacting me about taking coding. Pull out that old typewriter. If from the, I know you got a lot of old school brothers, young brothers and sisters on the line. Pull out that antique. Or use your computer, not your phone. And I want to stress that, because the young generation, they like to text all day. Okay, I told somebody, I know how to text, but I don't like it. And I would prefer, if I had to choose, I would rather type on my desktop instead of texting. You know, but I'm old school too. I like verbal, you know, vibrational communication. And you don't get that in the text. I think that's why a lot of youngsters have a lot of miscommunications in their relationships, because it's non-vibrational. It's just some words you type in and you send in, and it's no vibration there. You, at least on a phone call, you know, you'll have some type of vibe in there, you know. A direct meeting is even better. And that's old school technique of doing business. But non-vibrational communication, yeah, we have given lectures on that. it can sometimes cause miscommunication or bad communication or communication gaps, and which causes problem in the business world. Pull out your old typewriter, try to get some typing skills sharpened a little bit. And then you will be a better coder based on just a little work on your typing skills. And I'm not going to teach typing. No, I'm not teaching typing. I'm advising. My advice is to just work on your typing skills. If you have never typed, if you don't know how to type, now would be a good time to look at some of that. And they have all kind of lessons and programs that you can learn on your computer. And so in terms of the hit and skim economy, we want to stress that your creativity and your thought process is important, but you do not need a bachelor's degree to make a lot of money in technology. You do need to have an open mind and a humble heart, and I say that seriously because if you're willing to learn what you're going to need in tech, you're going to do fine. We never arrive in tech. That certification exam is going to be a brand new exam every 36 months. CompTIA and Cisco, they revamp those certification exams every 36 months, and they come out with new certifications and new tests every 36 months. So we want to work on our learning skills. We're going to enter an industry that requires you to learn the new thing every 36 months anyway. You will become a better IT professional if you worked on being an efficient learner, because you're in the industry where you're going to have to learn some new things anyway. So why not become a more efficient and better learner? That way you will excel in your industry no matter what it is. And so these are the things and techniques and the advice that we have for our students, and this is what we work on. So that means, why am I saying this? Even if you're a slow learner, right, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you are constantly working on better ways to learn. If you do that, you will win. You will become an IT professional that is formidable and a force to be reckoned with if you work on learning. And that's what we're supposed to be anyway. As Muslims, as human beings, as descendants of Adam, we are supposed to be gathering data and information all the time to improve our life and the condition and the quality of our life in North America, because there's nothing wrong with you getting your share. We are taught by our leadership to get your share, and your share might require you to master a trade or learn something. Those of us who are bringing home nice paychecks or making a lot of money in their business are more than likely people who have gotten better or always improved in their trade or what Allah has taught them. So I want to stress that. And also, we want to tell people and advise people that algorithm bias is serious. It's something that we should take serious. And you can help by sponsoring someone. If you don't want to take the class, find a young person or somebody in your family or somebody you know and encourage them to, so we can diversify the IT workforce. Because all of us will pay for this if we do not. Everybody's going to be affected. Okay, and the worst thing that could happen is people crying and boo-hooing that a robot can kill somebody, right? And when they know they could have pitched in and did something about it 5 or 10 years ago or earlier, you know. The robots are coming. That's inevitable. What we're trying to work on and change is how they are programmed and who is programming them. There are not enough of color. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. If I may say, if anybody want to ask a question, make a comment, press one on your phone. And as Mr. And as Dr. Frank keeps teaching, I'll bring you in. If you have a question or want to make a comment, just press one on your phone. I see you in the queue. Let's see. Dr. Frank?
Yes, sir.
323-867. Brother Shujah, did you have a question?
Yes.
Brother Shujah, did you have a question?
Wait a minute. As-salamu alaykum. It's Sister Karam Muhammad from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. What I wanted to add on to one of the things that the brother said about the robots. About 10 years ago, maybe about 15 years ago, they was talking about having robots to replace nursing, the nurses. And then they found out, they did a study and they found out that that wouldn't be possible. Because for human beings, they have to have that human touch. They said, just like a baby, you know, like when a baby is born, if you don't hold that baby and cover that baby, then that baby will eventually die. So they're the same thing as a human being. And I could bear witness because when I was in the hospital and I had my last child and I was feeling real bad, and when that nurse just came and put her hands over my forehead, it felt so good. It felt like a relief. So that's one thing they found out, that the robots won't be able to replace the job of a nurse. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay. Well,
yeah. Anybody else want to say, make a comment or ask a question? Dr. Frank, continue. If I see somebody in the queue, I'll let you know.
Okay. Praise be to Allah. So, yeah, I just want to make sure that I express the right information to the listeners, and that the hip stem economy and everything is tied in. Everything is connected. Artificial intelligence, we want to be in the forefront. We want to influence the robots. The robots, we can't stop them from coming. They're coming. So what we can do is influence how they are programmed. We cannot allow one race of people to do all the programming. Otherwise, our children and their children are going to be faced with a whole new era of civil rights that will be far more intense than the one we went through in the 60s. It will be more intense by virtue of we are dealing with machines. We're not even dealing with human people, and we're going through civil rights stuff. Okay, so... And based on my opinion, and this is my opinion, through civil rights issues in the 60s, they were much stronger and had much more unity than the generations of today. Hence, this is what's going to make it more intense by virtue of we're not the same as we once were in the mid-60s and early and late 70s. We had much more unity, and we definitely were not afraid to stand up and take on these challenges. The generations of today, they definitely need help and work in some of those areas. Hence, if they have to go through a civil rights issue dealing with machines that are programmed with a bias or a racism in it, or racist programming, then this would definitely be a tougher challenge for them, because today, you know, it's about instant gratification. People want stuff overnight. They don't. We're not really patient anymore. You know, you can look in sports. You know, these coaches have a very small window to win championships now. You know, and I look at, I like to watch football, right? And so I wanted to discuss that issue that many people are not aware of. Virtual reality and augmented reality, all right, can build out that equipment and develop the software for training. Well, one thing I learned while I was training for virtual reality and augmented reality equipment is that a person can quantum leap learning anything with this equipment. However, America does not market virtual reality equipment for becoming smarter. They market virtual reality equipment for playing games. But I'll tell you myself, I witnessed a third grade Caucasian girl scuffling with basic math, and in a week she had almost mastered in 7 days using virtual reality equipment. See, this is things they're not telling us as a people. These are secrets I'm sharing with you. Why is this secret? Because virtual reality equipment is already expensive now. The average African-American family that has more than one child probably cannot afford to buy virtual reality equipment for all their kids, right? And so the cost of it, is it causes a digital divide, but also the ones who do have it, they probably have it just for entertainment and playing games. But they're not telling you is that we can develop the software to make any subject a game or fun. The way virtual reality enables a human being to quantum learn things is that the brain, the way the brain works, is that the brain is going to figure out a pattern and make it a game. And so when you learn or you are trained virtually, that means your brain will pick it up much faster, and it's a muscle memory involved. So the way we typically learn is we read a book and we try to retain the information, and that's usually about 30%. Now, hands-on, when you learn something hands-on, that retention goes up to 70, all right? But when you use virtual reality and virtualization for training and learning any subject, it's almost immediate, because the brain is mapping out a pattern, and then there's a muscle memory for the brain to where that subject is second nature. So you're learning it on a quantum level almost. I've witnessed myself when I was training for this, there's some few things I've never done in my life. One of them, I've never flown a plane or a helicopter. When I was training, I think I was in Dallas this year doing some virtual training, I landed an Apache helicopter in the jungle after 5 tries without killing myself. The instrumentation, the panels, the aircraft is going to be just like it is in real life. And they have every terrain, every airport in the world. You can pick out which aircraft you want, which airport you want to land it on. And I landed the Apache helicopter in the jungle without killing myself after 30 minutes. Air traffic control. I've never done air traffic control in my life. I trained for a half hour in Chicago O'Hare Airport. Airport in Chicago. Air traffic control. After 30 minutes, It was like I had been doing this work for over a year. And so I'm aware of how fast a person can learn a subject or a trade with virtualization. And these are the things that are going to be manifest in the technological age, in the 5G era. But the digital divide is going to be wide. Why? Because typically the African-American family cannot afford virtual equipment. The schools, that they might not have the money to build out the virtual labs that are going to be utilized in private schools. So we have a lot of work to do, all right? And so and people are trying to make themselves competitive. And so what they would do is make sure the haves have and the have-nots don't have anything. And so and one of those things is being virtual equipment. But we do have those capabilities at New Life, and we market them because we're in business to make money. But, of course, we want to see our families and our communities have the same access to this level of technology. Our schools need this virtual equipment, especially the schools that are struggling and having low test scores. They could get some virtual equipment in these schools, and these kids can learn or get better at the math and science using virtualization. And so these are the things that we are hoping people get involved and do their research and help us level the playing field, because there will be a digital divide that's going to be wide as the Grand Canyon once they finish with this 5G build-out. And so I thank everybody that I have sent email to that has information about the virtualization.
Okay, Dr. So, Frank, I'm thankful. Well, this is so interesting. We've got another caller, Dr. Frank. And 314-337, state your name and where you call it from.
Assalamu alaikum. Rashid Salam.
Alhamdulillah, my banker brother.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't like me saying that, I will say it. But it's a good thing. I can even say it. You know? Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. As you were sitting here talking, and still several things popped in my mind. I'm going to say this as quick as I possibly can. Number one would be the mindset of our African-American children. Give us an idea on brain-based learning and how we can begin to, I like to refer to it as holistic, comprehensive life skill training, where trauma, conflict resolution, and anger management is in the picture in some shape, form, or fashion. And when you talk about this virtual reality, what is the cost associated with getting some of those types of equipment in our schools and some of the things we need to start doing? And the third one I want to say is this. When we start talking about our young kids, talk about the importance of security clearances. So a lot of our young kids are getting traffic tickets and getting warrants for their arrests and things of that nature. Here in St. Louis, 64% of all the traffic violations, I mean all the felonies in certain parts of our city has to do with a traffic violation that turned into a felony if you don't show up in court. So I'm just trying, if you can frame that in some shape, form, or fashion, how something as simple as that can knock out a security clearance. The things that we go through in our communities where we have environmental racism taking place, how we can begin to address that when it comes to trauma and all those things that take place. Because you kind of mentioned when you were starting off earlier about that type of thing on the mind and the brain. So I hope I didn't say too much, but if you can share that with us, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Well, the way the brain, the central nervous system works is that the brain is very efficient, and it is a state-of-the-art piece of equipment if you know how to use it, if you use it properly. The brain can visualize and virtualized at the same time. What I mean by that is that when a person is learning how to do something with virtualization, what the brain is going to do is simplify those steps. And then there's a muscle memory involved. So the brain is going to make it a game. It's going to make it a pattern. And then it's going to remember the pattern. It's almost second nature, the next step. And so that quantum leaps to learning, whereas typically if you read something, and you could be a good reader, the average retention in reading is only 30%, 30 to 35%. And that's when you're doing good reading. That's why some people, when they read a lot and they read faster, reading out aloud is the secret to mastering and retaining the information is actually reading out aloud. But that little technique right there that I mentioned is actually taught in Islam. The Quran, the word Quran means that which must be recited. When you recite something, you're reading it out aloud. You're reading it in a rhythm. And so the brain is always looking for a rhythm into its learning. This is how the brain and central nervous system is designed. And you mentioned brain-based learning techniques. I'm an expert at that because, you know, not just because I live in New Orleans where you know, I might have a conglomerate, a classroom full of students, but and everybody's on a different reading level, right? And so the brain-based learning techniques is me identifying how that individual actually learns and then going on his or her level, as opposed with typically in a typical classroom, the class is expected to get or reach the instructor or the teacher's level, or they will fail the class or get put out the classroom. That's not the proper way to learn. Everyone does not learn the same. So when that instructor is involved or intimately involved in each student, he knows how each and every student learns. And so when he communicates with that student, the object of the game is to make the information palatable to that student, not intimidate the student and give him a steak when he really needs baby food. And so those are brain-based learning techniques. But all it is can the good thing about the virtualization is that we can develop and the software and the program for that learning capacity, which means that if I had the opportunity to build out this equipment in the school, I can still tailor-make the virtual reality for that kid that may be in the eighth grade on a fifth grade reading level. He or she would be using virtualization that I have developed specifically for them. So now they are doing virtual reality but getting smarter. And the good thing about it, it doesn't take long. You can learn something in a week with virtual reality. So
wow.
What that means is that the device could be in a school and still satiate a number of students quickly. In a month's time, you probably could take care of about 30 students each month to where they've caught up or they are much better in that math class or that science class or even a history class, whatever. Anything can be virtualized now. And so all the Fortune 500 companies are using virtualization to train people. They're not using human beings to train anymore. They're using virtual reality now. And so what's good about this is that we are a company that can do this now. We have the capabilities, and we need more people to be able to do it. Hence, you can work with our company if you learn and get certified and then learn virtualization. Perhaps you can market this skill set to a Fortune 500 company and develop their software, and we'll build it out. And now we all are winning and getting smarter too. We need to figure out different ways to not only bridge the digital divide, but make ourselves competitive in this market. All right. They don't have a lot of black-owned companies that can do virtualization. We are one of them. They don't have a lot of black-owned companies that does streaming. We are one of them. So we want to be inclusive and help others if they're entrepreneurs. And, you know, they got enough money and tech for everybody, by the way.
Dr. Spray, real fast. Are you going to be with us, like, tomorrow? Even though we didn't schedule, you going to be with us tomorrow and in the days coming? Same
what
time?
You mean?
Are you gonna teach like tomorrow, or do you want to take a day off?
Yeah, Sunday is a day off for me, especially
off,
during
okay.
football season.
Oh man! well, let me ask you real fast: do you have a virtual program for Cody, or a virtual approach to Cody?
Somewhat, but not. I don't recommend it. I don't recommend virtualization for coding because not early on. Maybe once a person learns a language, then they get virtualization and hyperdebts. Virtualization is used for mainly for teaching a person or helping a person train how to do a job, not in terms of coding. Coding is you still got to learn the language. It's a language. Coding is a language, and so that's different. There's some virtualization for it, but it's always after you learn the basics of the language. So yeah, there'll be some virtual situations I put some students in, but not initially. Mm-hmm. You have to learn the language. You have to learn the alphabets first of a language.
Right.
Start
well, let me ask you this. When you landed that during the jungle, did you use a flight simulator? Because this is because I'm affiliated with the Tomorrow's Aeronautic Museum. This is why I call aeronautics and astronautics, because they got a school of flight and they have flight simulators. In fact, they have a flight simulator that a young brother invented, one of the little young brothers around there invented,
they have the flight simulators when you fly, that type of equipment, and then you have the virtualization. So, no, it's not an actual flight simulator, because in a flight simulator, the machine is moving like the jet. I wasn't in that. What I was in was a virtualization 3D component. I had something on my head and on my back, and I was actually in an Apache helicopter with all the instrumentation. And so my brain thought it was in the real jet. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. Flight simulation, you actually getting into a cockpit. Virtualization. Mm-hmm. Your brain is going to think it's somewhere else that is not based on three dimension and holographic. And that's the thing. That helps you understand the mind, the brain, because the brain never experienced anything anyway. Remember, your brain is inside your skull, isn't it? And so
yes, sir.
If you just need to set up the parameters of the brain, won't be able to tell the difference. And so that's what virtualization is. When the brain can't tell the difference, the brain could tell the difference if it's getting in the cockpit in a machine or a flight simulator. It knows that, okay, this is a flight simulator. But when you put that virtualization equipment on and then it starts seeing things, and it does not know the difference. It does not know this is not real. All it knows is that, okay, this is what we are doing, and if I do this, it's wrong, and if I do this, this is right. And the brain picks up those patterns immediately, and then there's a muscle memory issue. And after about 5 tries, I stopped killing myself, and I was living, and I knew how to do it. And so this is how people learn stuff, and that could be same can be done with calculus and math. This is a mistake. This is the right answer, and the brain picks up the pattern, And before you know it, that child is not making the mistakes no more, because the brain is already going to be apprehensive, or a red flag is going to pop up in the brain and say, no, that don't go that way on this type of math problem. And so that children, that individual will learn at a quantum speed, much faster than even a flight simulator, by the way, to answer your question. Flight simulation speed is nice, but it can't touch virtualization at all. There's different type of equipment out there, and we have access. That's I want to say, and it's not cheap, but guess what? New Life, we can get it more reasonable than the average company. So what I mean that is that if a school will spend a little money, we can get them some equipment at a fair price than maybe another company, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, okay, it's definitely not. But it pays for itself.
Okay. Brother Ukta, it's coming up at the end of the hour. If you could tell us your schedule for next week, you could tell us. When can you come back and preach and teach?
Yeah, next week I'll be. I think I had told you that Wednesday, Thursday, Tuesday. I'm not sure yet. I'll know by Monday, but definitely Wednesday and Thursday. But you say you don't have it on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturdays, you know, and Sunday is the day I catch up on my paperwork while I'm watching a little football. You know, I like to watch a little football.
Okay, so those days are what again? I'm going to write them down right here that you're going to be back. Go ahead.
Okay, that's cool. I don't mind sharing the information, but remember, because I don't want people to think I really do talk shows. I'm an action figure.
Okay.
I give lectures. Then after that, I'll be ready to work with people who are ready to work. And so I will continue to spread the word, because we need to get the word out about algorithm bias and people know what's going on. But I'm always, looking for the production to do some work. I'm a worker, Muhammad.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I'm an action. Yeah, most of the time.
But we did, like you said, we just spread the word. So when can we?
Right.
Can I book you? Okay. Well, how about Monday? You say Monday, and then Wednesday and Thursday.
I didn't say Monday, but I'm not sure about Monday. I was thinking Tuesday be a day.
Tuesday.
But I'll let you know by Monday. I'll know by Monday if I can do Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and he'll let us know. All right, okay.
I'll let you know Monday evening whether I'm going to do it Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, usually what I do, a text blast, and I try to reach everybody who I got a phone number on.
Okay, well, give me the time when you do that, and then I could probably try to accommodate you before you send the flash out. I could probably let you know, Monday, before you
even
send the flag.
All right. Yeah. I could do it. I could do it in a day or so, because I got a lot of numbers. Okay then. Alhamdulillah. All praise be to Allah. So, I think we got a little grace time. Anybody else want to ask another question? Brother Rashid, you want to ask a backup question or something?
Well,
we got a little grace time.
Just about the security clearance. That's about all I wanted to talk about.
Did you get that question?
What you mean? Well, I'm trying to.
I'm just saying for those young people who are find themselves in serious trouble, or say, for instance, have felonies and things like that, when they get to an upper echelon arena, does a security clearance is that going to be a problem for them, or having a bad record a problem?
That's what he meant by security clearance. Guess what?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. IT, the technology industry is an industry that is very lenient on people with a jacket, if that
very
answers
good.
Your question. You have a better chance of getting a job being a formerly incarcerated person than probably working at McDonald's, because they want to know if you can do the work. If you can do the work, if you ain't on, if you haven't escaped from a prison and on a run, yeah, you probably can get hired. I think I sent Rashid and even, I think you too. I sent the brother a email with brothers taking a coding class in prison, coming out with a 6-figure job.
I got that, yes, sir.
Yeah, and more much security clearance than that. Brothers in San Quentin coming out with 6-figure jobs. Yeah,
no problem.
Yeah, that's the, they cleared. They did their time. Remember, if you go to jail, you're paying a debt, your quote unquote, your debt to society. Once it's paid, you should be left alone, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so if people are released from prison, now you might not get the security clearance while you're in prison, you know, but once you get out, you should be able to work. And then remember, we short in the IT workforce, so they're gonna just want. Can you do the work? You can get us to walk speed. We don't care if you did what you did 30 years ago. Don't matter. What matters is, can you get us to warp speed right now? Can you do the work? And we help a lot of formerly incarcerated people with gainful employment, because tech is not an industry that's even worried about that. They worry about that at McDonald's. Retarded. Some small little job going to give you a hard time behind that. Not tech.
That was for the purpose of those who are listening, who have people who are in that particular arena, because I do. I have a lot of people I work with who has that background. So just a clarification for everybody to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have some intelligent people that work with us, and we have ways to help that formerly incarcerated person get around that security clearance that you mentioned. I understand where you was coming from. Now, at first, you had kind of... shook me a little bit. They have security clearance in the military.
That's right.
Type of clearance, you know. But yeah, I understand where you're coming from. No, if that person is, if they're on parole and they're doing, you know, they ain't having no problems, yeah, they're employable. If they finished their time and it's done and you've paid your debt to society, typically in the IT workforce, It's the interview is mainly, can you do the work, and are you capable, and then they'll feel you out for a minute, and if you doing your job good, they're not bothering you. They are short and they are very open minded about, because remember, this is an industry that if you get caught hacking, they're gonna offer you a job before they send you to jail.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, they're lenient. I don't know no other industry when you get caught, you get a job off. I was the only one. Yeah, if you're a hacker and they catch you, they're going to offer you, the federal government going to offer you a job first.
I see. I helped them. Right.
Help them catch the hackers. So that should tell you just how lenient it is with, you know, that. They're going to offer the hacker a job thing before you send him in jail.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions? I got the everything's open, so, you know, like, you chime on in. We got maybe about another 5 minutes of grace time. I've been having this account about 5-6 years, so I should have a little grace time. Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
I would just like to know, Doctor, when did you gave your phone number out, right? You say you're not sure of when you will be able to give time next week, because before you...
I said Wednesday and Thursday, and I wasn't sure about Tuesday. That is what I said. I said Wednesday and Thursday. I wasn't sure about Tuesday. That's what I said.
Okay. So Wednesday and Thursday. Okay, now you say you're starting class in November. Did you mention, maybe I missed it, when you would be starting the class in November of this year?
I think I said that would be the first week for coding and week two, the end of week two for the certification. That's what I said.
The first week for coding. Okay. But you didn't say the date.
Coding, no, the date is still to be determined, but it'll be the first week.
Okay.
The actual date is still to be determined, but it'll be the first week. And for coding, it's to be determined, but it'll be the second week.
Okay.
The end of the second week, like Friday or Thursday. I don't usually do classes on Fridays. So it'd probably be a Wednesday or Thursday, the second week of November. Same with the first week for coding. I just didn't have it determined the date yet.
Okay. You didn't give any
particular.
I still
have slots open. And so when I have slots open like that, I split up the orientation. That's why the date is not determined. The main thing is that if you wait till the last minute, then you're not going to be able to get in it. So everybody who's interested, don't just stay interested. Make a move, because when the slots fill up, I'm going to say it's filled. And you're going to have to wait till the next course.
Okay, man. Okay.
Okay, Dr. Uptow, okay, like I said, though, I'm going to repeat, you got to stand in the invitation or stand in, anytime you want it. If you got some people that, want to hear your presentation, and really, if you don't have a platform to do it, you got this. You got to stand in invitation here. So, alhamdulillah. Thank you very much. This is Saturday, so we've gone 5 days. All praise be to Allah. We got a lot of information, and we got the flavor of this movement. And you give me a lot of good ideas. I got a little thing called New Africa Code Community, and I want to start recruiting people and give me a little storefront over here and put that Claire Muhammad School in there, but have a New Africa Code Community and invite
call
the community
African
also
code,
too.
African
New
code
Africa.
Community?
Yeah,
oh,
New
Africa
Code Community.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Code.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. You know, New Africa is one of the movements or titles. Imam Muhammad said it's going to be great. It's going to be great, that New Africa. So I want to tie into that. So, okay, my brother, can you take us out in prayer, Dr. Uptow, can you take us out? And inshallah,
yes,
we'll talk another time. Everybody got
yes,
your, everybody got your phone number. So, alhamdulillah, if you could do that, we appreciate it.
Right, praise be to Allah. Yeah, because I have to start cultivating and developing the curriculum. So, that's my action-jackson time. And so I got work to do. So praise be to Allah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirata al-mustaqim. Sirata al-ladhina al-amta alayhim. خير المخدوب عليهم والدالين آمين
السلام عليكم
السلام عليكم السلام عليكم السلام
y'all have a blessed evening.